Good morning.
I remembered.
Please have a seat. It's a joke between the guys in the sound booth and me. I always forget to turn my microphone back on, or I forget that it's on. And anyway, so welcome to this time and this place of worship. My name is Reverend Michael Mugford. For those of you who are visiting this morning, a very warm welcome to you. I'm in ministry regularly here at Coal Harbor Woodside. If you've been here over the last couple of weeks and I've not been here, that's because I have been blessed with some time away, and so I'm pleased to be back. If you're visiting with us, we ask that you invite you to let us know you've been here. We've got a guest book just outside the entrance of the sanctuary here. Please sign it. Stay after service for a little time of refreshment in the entryway here. We've got some lemonade and some lovely refreshments to share with you, and love to have some conversation. And if you're looking for a church home and you think Coal Harbor Woodside might be a place for you, come speak to me. I'd love to talk to you a little bit about the wonderful ministry that we have here at Coal Harbor Woodside. As we gather this morning, I'm seeing folks still coming into the parking lot, so I'm going to try and pad this little intro a little bit more to give them a little bit of time to come in. There's still cars coming. It's late in the summer, and 10 o'clock is sort of a fluid time. And help me, I'm dying up here. Whew. I've been away 3 weeks. I have no idea what I'm doing up here. Forgotten how to do everything. The order of service is in front of you. It's also on the screen. If you'd like to sing along, please do so. Oh, yes, there are guest envelopes in the pews if you are visiting with us this morning. We don't ask our guests to leave an offering, but if it's something you would like to do, we invite you to use those, and we'd love to say thanks for worshiping with us this morning. And so as we gather. So as we gather, it has become our part of our rite and our ritual to engage in acknowledgement of place, the land in which we gather this morning. So I invite us to share in its words. It'll be on the screen, and it's in your bulletins, and I invite you to respond with the bold. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy.
And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Coal Harbor Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation.
We are first and foremost a community that gathers in the name of Christ and in the light of Christ. We gather this morning. We light this candle to remind us of Christ's light in our lives and in the world, that the light came into the world and the darkness has never put it out. We light a candle of peace. We think of those places in our world where there is no peace. We have seen much violence, unfortunately, in the last days, and we think of the victims of that violence, and we hold them in our prayers, and we commit anew to working as followers of the Prince of Peace. And we light a third candle in honor of those who serve in our armed forces here in Canada and around our world. They go to places where we as normal people would not be able to go, cannot go, and do things for the cause and for the name of peace. And we recognize and honor them. We think of those who are first responders in our communities, peace officers and firefighters and EMTs, the work that they do for us on our behalf. We think of those who staff our nursing homes and hospitals, emergency rooms and long-term care facilities, those who look after us when we are in our times of greatest need. And we honor them and their ministry in our communities. As we gather, I invite us to sing, "We Praise You, O God." It's in the hardcover Voices United, and the words are also on the screen.
Thank you.
My apologies. The call to gather this morning is the one I was using before I was away. It was part of the Bread of Life sermon series I offered, and Jennifer nor I noticed it when we printed the bulletins this week. So it is an old gathering, but it works nonetheless. Hungering and thirsting, we come to worship.
We look for Jesus, the living bread.
God feeds us with love and justice.
We gather in Jesus, the bread of hope.
God calls us to compassion, that we may also feed others.
Jesus' love challenges us to share life with all.
We gather to sing, to praise, to pray, and to serve God in the world.
For here in worship, we share Christ's life.
Let us pray together. Architect of the universe, your voice called out over the deep, and darkness brought forth light. Your voice brought forth life. Your voice brought forth our very beings. Today, your voice continues to call out in our universe and bring new hope and new life. As we gather today, may we hear your voice above the hum of the highway and the buzz of business talk. May we hear your voice in the cries of children, in soft tones of the sick, and the pleas of the poor. May we hear, may we listen, and may we respond to your voice in our lives and in our world. In your name we pray, may it be so. Amen.
And I invite us to sing again together in Voices United again for the beauty of the earth.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, reading at chapter 1. When God began creating the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the sea, and God's breath brooded over the water. And God's voice was heard and said, "Let there be light." And so light appeared. And God saw how good the light was. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God named the light day and the darkness night. night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then from the gospel according to Matthew, reading at chapter 6, Jesus is talking to his followers about the things that they're concerned about. And he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans ran after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first God's kingdom, and live God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May we in the church hear what the Spirit is speaking to us through these words of our sacred scriptures. Amen. Well, I've got some children here this morning. Would you like to come up and share a few minutes together? Come on up. How are we this morning? Good to see you. Hi, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're going to have a seat right here? Are you going to sit on this? Yeah, okay. You can sit down here on the steps, on the carpet. Well, how is summer going? Are you having a good summer? Yeah, are you having a good summer?
We are, but.
You are?
I am, but Mama always does everything that we want to do.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sounds like you're having a great summer then. Oh. There's people on the mat. And we're wondering where Canada is on this map. And it's kind of in a funny shape here, but here's Canada right here, and there's Nova Scotia right there. So we're there somewhere. You live in Nova Scotia, yeah? And your dad came home. That's wonderful. He was away for a long time, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, we sure missed you guys. We miss having everybody here during the summer as well. So I want to ask you about, did anybody make anything over the summer? Did you create anything over the summer? And the reason why I ask that is, you see, this is a new cross. You see that? A friend of mine made that for me. And he gave it to me earlier on this summer when I was away at Berwick Camp. And he made a whole bunch of them, but he said, you can have this one because you gave me the idea on how to make it. And so I was really, really touched. I had talked to him about, you know, he wanted to make a Celtic-style cross. And we talked about it one day, and I didn't know that that's what he was going to do. And he's pretty talented to make that. I mean, it's got a... He took a piece of wood, and that's a full circle. He cut that circle out of a single piece of wood. Mm-hmm.
That's the single of
church. Yeah. Yeah, and so that's why I'm wearing it in church today, is because it's a symbol in the church. Summertime, yeah, summertime. So did you make anything? Did you draw any pictures or anything like that? You draw some pictures?
I draw one for Dad.
Did you? And what did you do? No. Did you sing a song? No. Did you use your imagination and play? Yeah. There you go. That's creating something, isn't it? How about you? Did you do anything? Did you make that shell that you have there? That is beautiful. I love the colors of it. That's really pretty. And what do you use that shell for? You listen to the ocean, yeah. So making things and creating things is a lot of fun. We get to do things. Yeah.
We picked up Patty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're busy this morning, aren't we? Yeah. That's great. You have lots to tell me because it's been away for a long time. Yes. Yeah, well, we're getting new siding, putting all on the church. If you go out on the other side there, you can see the lovely siding that's getting put on. So one of the things I think that reason why we make things is because God is a maker of things too. God made everything that we see. And in the book of Genesis that we read this morning, it talked about the very first thing that God made. Did you hear what I, when I was reading the Bible story, what God made very first time? What did he make? Do you remember? I said, in the beginning, God created, before God created the world, God created light. I think that's so God could see what God was doing. Have you ever tried to make anything in the dark? Doesn't work very well. Yeah. Yes, it's very pretty. Yeah. Different shoes on. So it's wonderful that we are so creative in the way. Yeah. It's wonderful that we're so creative when we get to create things, isn't it? So all of those things that we do when we create is a way in which we're saying thank you to God for our minds and for our hands and for our hearts. So let's have a little prayer, and we're going to say a little bit and get you to put your hands together, and we'll close our eyes, and I'll say a little bit, and you can repeat after me. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For all that you have created.
For all that you have created.
Including me.
Including me.
Help me to be as creative as you.
Help me to be as creative as you.
In love and care for your world.
In love and care for your world.
So we're going to sing together, and it's one of my favorite songs that we sing at this time, Like a Rock, and it's got actions to it, okay? Do you remember the actions? It's been a long time. So we'll practice them here. We'll stand up, and we'll practice them, and we're going to do Like a Rock. So it's like a rock, God is under our feet, and then like the starry night sky, God is over our head, like the sun on the horizon, God is ever before. Like the river runs to ocean, our home is in God evermore. And we end with a big hug for ourselves. It's like God hugging us, okay? So try that. Like a rock, God is under our feet. Like the starry night sky, God is over our head. Like the sun on the horizon, God is ever before. Like the river runs to ocean, our home is in God. Okay, let's sing that. We're going to sing that through three times. Let's try that. You going to stand up and sing with us? Some church school programming upstairs for you if you would like to go. Yes. It's on the ground, yeah. God's like the ground that we stand on, or grass, yeah. Are you going to go with to Sunday school? And grass, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that why you're at the restaurant? Yeah. You're going to go to Sunday school? Okay. You go have some fun. You got to follow that one. I just got to follow you. That's good. With me for a moment of prayer. Oh God, as we gather here this day, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts find their source in you, our rock and our strength. In Christ, amen. So as I was asking the children, what did you do this summer? And I know summer's not over. I'm not trying to rush it. Summer's my favorite. But what did you do? Did you do anything yet that felt creative for you? Anybody? No? You made pickles. Well, there you go. That's pretty creative. I love pickles. Hmm? You got sunburnt? Not very creative. It's not hard to do that some days, eh? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty creative. Yeah. Yeah, looking after ourselves. That's great. What else? Anyone else do anything creative? You did some knitting? Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Out of Sun Life Church there. Yes, yes. Yeah. One of the pastors there grew up in the church I served in Margaretville. In the valley, yeah. I don't know if he's still there now or not, but yeah. I heard back here. That's pretty creative. When you're having company, you can find the most creative ways to hide things that you normally just reside anywhere. Yeah. You creatively said, take me as I am. Right, that's right. Yeah. Well, before I had some time off, I was feeling rather dry lately when it comes to creativity. That's one of the reasons why it's great when you are afforded some time away, both for personal time off, but also for some time for continuing education, which is what one of the things I did when I was at Berwick Camp. I felt replenished. My well felt to fill up again as I listened in the mornings to our former moderator, David Giuliano, speak, and he was so creative in some of the things that he did. And then in the evenings, our preacher, Roger Nishioka, was incredibly creative as a storyteller and kept us enraptured by his preaching night after night. So, you know, over that time, I read. I sat on the porch of our cottage and I read. I read books. I have a stack of books in my office, and it's now a little bit smaller until the resource room opens again, and then it'll get taller. So I read some great books. I read a wonderful book by a theologian by the name of Diana Butler Bass on her journey through her faith and the things that she encountered. I went for a couple of motorcycle rides, which is greatly creative for me in my head because I talked to myself in my helmet. I picked up our camera. We bought a camera a few years ago, and I took some pictures, experimented with depth of field and subject and that sort of thing. So that was helpful for me. And the biggest thing I've done is I started a diary or a journal. I'm not quite sure exactly what it is, because according to Webster's Dictionary, a journal is a record of experiences, ideas, or reflections kept regularly for private use. So in that way, it kind of feels like a journal. But on the other hand, a diary, again, according to Webster, is a record of events, transactions, observations kept daily or at frequent intervals. Well, I'm not really disciplined enough yet to do it every day, but I have been recording my thoughts and my observations about myself, how I'm interacting with the world, some of the things that I'm feeling and encountering. So the difference is nuanced. It seems that a journal is more emotive and creative in private nature, while a diary seems to be more formal and intended at some day to be shared as a record. I'm really hoping that it stays private, that nobody publishes my diary posthumously. So I've been writing in it for about 3 weeks now, sometimes daily, sometimes every couple of days. I started it, I thought it might be a spiritual discipline, that I might, maybe what I would write to a point would be spiritual and would lead me in different places, but really has become a place where I am tending to be working out things from my brain, putting down emotions and experiences, and then questioning, why is it that I'm feeling that way? You know, as I'm writing it down, I just sort of let the pen flow on the paper, and I look back and I go, that was interesting. I don't know where that might have come from, or why did I react to that experience in that particular way? I'm being creative for no real purpose whatsoever. There's no master plan for this little book. But it got me thinking about Genesis and the reading for this week. What was on God's mind when God began creating? In our English translation, it says, "In the beginning, God created." But the better Hebrew translation is a little bit different. When God began creating the heavens and the earth. And I wondered, had God created before? Was this God's first act of creation? Or like the journals I've tried to keep in the past that have found their way into the back of a drawer, was God starting something new again? In Hebrew, the first three words of Genesis 1:1 are Bereshith bara Elohim. It's up on there. Bereshith bara Elohim. Which is most often translated in English, as I said, in the beginning when God created. But to get a truly good sense of what it says in Hebrew is beyond my knowledge. And so I turned to the experts, who are far more creative than me. And scholar Carl Jacobson seems to love this major league geeking out, he says, in Hebrew grammar. So here we go. The first word, Bereshith, which is translated in the beginning, doesn't actually translate that way in Hebrew. So the word for beginning is that second word on the second line, Reshith. So to add in the beginning would look a little bit different. It would look like this word, Bahareshith, which is not the actual word that we find in the text. So there's a translation problem there. It doesn't, but it looks like this, Bereshith. Because in the Hebrew, there is no word va. Who knew? Didn't study Hebrew. There's no word the. So Carl Jacobson says that the best way to read it comes from the Jewish Publication Society that says, when God began creating, or when God began to create. And so you wonder, okay, thanks, Mike, for the little Hebrew lesson here. Why? Because the translation from the Jewish Publication Society speaks to me as a world being in process. When God began creating is an ongoing, it gives me that ongoing feeling. You know those t-shirts with the decals on them that say, be patient, God isn't finished with me yet? How many of those of us had kids, had those when we were kids or gave them to our kids? Yeah. So I think that although God's initial act of creation comes to fruition on the Friday, when God creates those last things, and on Saturday when God rests, because that's the Sabbath, I can't help but think that the nature of God then has God get up again on what we call Sunday morning and continue that act of creation through the next week and the next month and the next year and the next millennia. I don't believe God is finished with us yet. I don't believe God is finished with creation yet. I believe that God continues to work in creation and in the world, and I truly believe that we as human beings are called to be partners with God in that act of creation. I believe God calls us out into the world to continue with that act. Our United Church of Canada has a faith statement called the Song of Faith. And in that we state, divine creation does not cease until all things have found wholeness, union, and integration with the common ground of all being. We as children of the timeless one, our time-bound lives will find completion in the all-embracing Creator. But in the meantime, we embrace the present, embodying hope, loving our enemies, caring for the earth, choosing life. What act of participating in the ongoing creation of the world are we as individuals and we as Cole Harbor Woodside United Church called to be a part? What is God calling us to do with God in creation? Would it be expanding on our understanding of pride and in its inclusion? Would God be calling us to work on starting relationship with Indigenous peoples? Continuing to support our food bank and continue and expanding that conversation about food and food security in our neighborhood? Would it be to continue our to intentionally support our call to refugees and expanding our care perhaps of immigrants in our community? Would it be reaching out to our neighbors just out there across the road and offering them opportunity to engage in faith and community? To what is God calling us to be partners in God's creative act for Cole Harbor Woodside United Church? On the Sabbath, God rested from the work that had been done. And if creation was truly done there, then Genesis would have ended there. But it doesn't. Our story as a people of faith does not end on the Sabbath. In fact, I believe that it only begins when God rests on the Sabbath. I believe that the Sabbath is only the beginning of life. And it is through the course of each of our weeks that God calls us, come, partner with me, that we might create the world that I vision from the very beginning, when I began creating. May we live into God's call. Thanks be to God. Amen. Charles. Are there announcements that need to be shared this morning? Most things are still in their summer hiatus. Things like Bible study and healthy living, women, wine and worship, church and a pub, men's lunch, that'll all begin again in September. We've been meeting a couple of times and one more time over the course of this month upstairs in the meeting room on a Monday night, 6:30. For coffee and tea with me, the Rev, and we've had some pretty good conversations. So the next one is not tomorrow night, but a week tomorrow, Monday the 26th at 6:30 upstairs in the meeting room. If you want to come, it's a great time. We never really know what we're going to talk about. I don't have anything planned, but I do keep something in my back pocket in case there's some silence. But in the times we've done it, there has never been silence. There has always been something really interesting to talk about. So everybody's invited to that. just want to hold up Spirit Cafe, which is sort of a new way or a different way of doing church. They're meeting at the Wooden Monkey on the 3rd of September, just after the Labor Day. And the topic is faith. Is it a journey or a destination? So that sounds interesting. And that's a cooperative effort of some of the downtown Dartmouth churches. And there's a phone number you can call. We are collecting baby clothes, newborn to 3 months, for a family in need soon to become parents. So gently used is no problem. So if you've got things that, you know, kids or grandkids have grown out of and you want to bring them to the office, Jennifer will greatly receive those. Margie Berry said, there's the new shelter that has begun out of Sun Life Church on Windmill Road, and they're looking specifically for new underwear, men and women's underwear for the homeless shelter, and those can be brought to the church office as well, or to Margie. No, not necessarily new. Okay. Sunday school registration is going to happen on September 8th and 15th. And on the 15th of September, we're going to have our back-to-school backpack blessing. So if you have young people in your lives who are going to be starting school again in September, come on out on Sunday, September the 15th, for a blessing of the backpacks. And on September 8th, 9:30 chapel worship will begin again, and service here will happen at 10:30 again. So please mark those on your calendars. If you happen to show up at 9:30 thinking service is going to start at 10, come on over to the chapel and join us there for some wonderful conversation. Those are the announcements that I was given, and I meant to grab a moment for mission. I'm glad Cindy Barclay Hill is back to read Moment for Mission for us, because I've been faking it for a few weeks. Good. I've been telling people about real M&S stuff, it's just I didn't have the book, that's all.
Christian-Muslim relations in Africa. It seems more important than ever for the Christian Church to foster intentional, ecumenical, and interfaith partnerships. The Program for Christian-Muslim Relations in Africa is a pan-African Christian organization that was started in 1959 to build good relations between Christians and Muslims. It brings together communities of faith, in spite of their differences, to work together for justice, peace, and reconciliation. Countries in Africa are advised to stay secular, says the Reverend Dr. Joseph Mutai, Program Director of Procurema. There is so much fighting happening these days, and religion has been the most divisive factor here, aside from economic factors. While this is not unique to Africa, it is evident that their education is a key tool in fostering good relations for Africans. Procurema has partnered with St. Paul's University in Nairobi, Kenya, to create a Master of Islam and Christian-Muslim Relations program. Mutai has a strong conviction that religious education such as this will lead to a deeper understanding of each other's beliefs. He says education should be the foundation of what is happening around the country of Kenya and the continent of Africa. A visitor listening to the students in this program was moved by their enthusiasm for engaging in work they hoped would help others understand Christian-Muslim relations. Canadians have much to learn from this organization. We give thanks for the United Church's partnership with Procurema through Mission and Service. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you've not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Cindy. In that spirit, then, we continue to worship God as we present our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, you are the bread of heaven, giving life to the world. You fill our souls and lives with your goodness. We bring these offerings and gifts so that we may do our part in sharing your life in the world. They are brought for the life of this community of faith, and that they may be shared with those in need of food, clothing, shelter, and hope. We pray blessing on all who receive and all who share these gifts around the world. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us pray. Living and loving God, we, your people, are gathered here this day, in this place. As so many of your people are gathered on this day and in the days to come around the world, looking to you, to your Spirit, to your presence, and to your Christ in our world. Looking for ways in which we might follow you, that we might put aside the worries of the world, that we might trust and know that regardless as to where we find ourselves, you are with us. We are not alone. There is no need for worry does not accomplish anything. But hope accomplishes, and faith accomplishes, and love and care and support and walking with one another, those things accomplish. So help us to push aside worry and doubt. And let us hold one another as you hold us, that as community together we will walk forward into your world, into your ongoing creation. Our scriptures tell us, O God, that as the universe and the world were being created, you called things good. Each time you looked at what you had done, it was called good. And in the end, when all things had been completed to where they were, and just before you rested, you said things were very good. Help us to live in that state of very good. For that was your pronouncement. That was your intention. Draw us back to you in your creativity. May our creativity, may we be inspired to find ways to live in peace and harmony with one another. That we might find ways to uphold one another. Remind us, O God, as has been said on so many different occasions in so many different ways, blowing out the light of another does not make our light shine brighter. Help us to walk away from anger and mistrust, fear and condemnation. Instead, draw us in faith to love, to support, to care. For this is the call of Jesus. This is the call of the one whom we have committed our lives to following. This is the one whom we have seen and known to be your beloved child, your messenger, your Messiah, your Christ. This day, as we gather in community, we think of those and we pray for those who are in need. Our words and our intentions are meant to go before our actions. And so as we intentionally pray today for those we love and those we care for, with the intention, support, and love of and care of those who are hungry in our community, and those who are fearful, and those who are in pain,
those who are in hospital or in prison, those who are naked, those who are in need of companionship. As we make these our intentions, O God, may your Spirit move us to faith which issues in action. May we, in your creativity, continue to create that world that is very good. We uphold and we care for one another in the best way in which we can. And in prayer this day, we hold in our minds and in our hearts those we name. Carolyn and Chris and Gary and Beth and Hannah and Nancy and David and Faith and Dorothy and Simon and Sean and Richard and Eric, Hunter, Barbara, Gary, Joy, Marie and Donna, Heather, Wayne, Suzanne, Della, Reg, Lloyd and Neil, Millie and Matilda, those whose names are listed here and those whose names are known in our hearts and in our minds and in your Spirit. We pray for ourselves in the ways in which we are struggling, in the ways in which we need one another in community, in the ways in which we draw upon you and your Spirit. All of our prayers we gather in the name of the one who taught us that we might pray in so many ways, but in the ways that we have learned by saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Our closing hymn this morning, To Show by Touch and Word, 427. And so we have come to this place seeking blessing, and by God's Spirit we have been blessed in this place. And so let us go into the world carrying that blessing and sharing it with those we encounter in the week that is to come. For as God's light and life in the world shines within us and through us, it shines in those we encounter as well. Go and be the blessing God has called us to be. Amen. Are we going to try this again as a round? I heard you gave up on me over the course of the times when I was away. Was it perfect last week? Yeah? Good. Good. Okay. Go around peace. So section one, section two, and maybe section three over here is a little bit smaller, so maybe you can help over there. Good. Okay. Here we go.